Hello, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining into this Bible study with the ABCs of Christian Growth. My name is Thurman, and Brother Thurman, and I'm glad to be here with you. I appreciate you and respect you for honoring your Lord and our God and our Savior and getting into His Word to find out what His Word says about this life and about our lives and about His will. And that's what we're going to do today. We have been studying in the lesson of separation in the ABCs, the letter S. That's S. the letter S. And we're going to go back into it. And the last thing that we got into and was talking about was some areas of personal separation. Now, does the Bible talk about separation? It absolutely does. And the Bible doesn't care what anybody thinks about anything. The Bible tells the truth no matter who you are, no matter how much money you got, no matter who respects you, what kind of clout you got, whether you're a poor person, whether you're eating out of a dumpster, the Bible doesn't care. It tells you the truth. And one of two things are going to happen when you're told the truth. God the Holy Ghost is going to present the truth to you, and your heart's going to receive it. Your mind's going to process it, and your heart's going to receive it, and you're going to take it in, and it's going to be good as honey to you, and you're going to be willing to make the change and do the things that are necessary to please the Lord, or you're going to reject it and deny the truth. Nevertheless, it remains the truth, okay? So, just know that you're not responsible to me in these lessons, and I am not responsible to you. We want to help each other and love each other with Christ's love and tell each other the truth. That's what the Bible says for us to do. But as far as being responsible, we're responsible to hear. The Lord said so many times in His Word, He says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He said that a lot in Revelation. I'm studying Revelation. That's where I remember that from. But He said it a lot in a lot of the other books also. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. What the Lord's saying there, He's not saying whether or not you got two ears hanging on the side of your head. Everybody does that. Does have them, except for Malchus, where Peter cut his off, but the Lord put it back on. But He said, he that hath an ear to hear. There's one thing about having an ear and not hearing, and I ain't talking about being deaf. We're talking about the ears of your heart. Sound can go inside of your ears, and you can open up the other door on the other side, and it goes straight through your head and out the other ear, depending on what you want to do with it. Or you can stop it right in the middle of your brain and route it down to your heart and deal with it. That's what the Lord's talking about. He's talking about, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. And if you ain't got an ear to hear, then keep moving. You know, do what you want to do until the time comes that you're going to have to give account for it. And every man will give account. That's what the Scripture says. So getting back into this, some of the areas of personal separation, the Bible does teach us that we're to be separate. And while we're studying this, let's just do each other a favor, okay? Let's set what the world says outside of our study. If the world was sitting here listening to this, they would have already interrupted the study. Well, that, and well, this, and well, that, and well, you don't have this, and you don't... Listen, we're talking about what God says and what the Bible says. If the Bible tells me that it's all right for a man to wear a dress, and then that's it. Whatever the Bible says, okay, that's what we want to know. There's a lot of people that don't want to know what the Bible says, and I encourage them not to listen to these because it don't bring up nothing but questions and trouble and waste time. I don't care whether anybody, any lost person ever listens to this or not. I mean, if they want to be lost and they want to die and go to hell and they want to live in sin and suffer for it, that's their business. The Lord said, let the blind follow the blind. Or let the blind lead the blind. Everybody go in a ditch. So that was the Lord's opinion about that. The Lord didn't say chase them down and beg them. The Lord didn't beg nobody. He offered it to them, and if they listened to him, he told them some more. And he saved anybody that would be saved. And anybody that didn't know how to be saved, just like that one man, the Lord says, dost thou believe? He said, I believe, Lord. Help thou my unbelief. The man stated that he believed and answered the Lord and said, I believe you, Lord. He said, but there's something in me that keeps telling me that I don't know whether I believe or not. He said, I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief. And the Lord blessed him for that. At least he was trying, and the Lord blessed him for his faith, and he admitted the truth. So let's put the world outside of this study and not care what the world says or thinks about any of these issues, okay? Because the world doesn't care anyway. If the world was in this conversation, the only thing they'd do, it'd be like the National Council of World Churches. They'd just sit around and talk about a bunch of stuff that don't mean nothing. No truth in it at all. Everybody wants to stand up and look like I'm the best speaker here, and I got my hair combed better than you, and blah, 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 blah. So let's leave all that outside this study and just talk about what the Bible says. And I'll read these scriptures to you, and you can write them down, and you can look at them too. And God the Holy Ghost will bear witness of the truth. He never tells you one thing and tells me another that contradict one another. If both of us are sincere and want the truth, the Lord tells us the things that will come, that will knit themselves together, just like you take your hands and knit your fingers together. God's Word comes together like that, real just as beautiful as it can be. God's Word never makes a mistake. So here we go. Some areas of personal separation we talked about in the last recording, the things that I allow my eyes to see. And we don't have to go back over that. God the Holy Ghost has already said things to you, and you have responded to it or not, and hopefully you did. And if you're listening to this, you probably did. Like attending movies and the way that the television, that we behave with the television and the books and the magazines, they're all dangerous, and they're all critical to a walk, to a Christian's walk, and they can affect your walk with the Lord, and will if you don't guard them. But sometimes, even when you allow the so-called good parts of them things into your life, it becomes such a laboring thing to try to keep the bad parts out that it ain't worth it. They just throw it out the window. You know, so you have to decide that. And if you mean business with the Lord, the Christian walk is sacrifice. We take up our cross daily. And we follow the Lord. And if part of our cross is not being able to watch a television because of the filth on it, it's worth it. It's a sacrifice because there is some entertaining and funny things and things that you can laugh at and stuff like that. But if it's going to hinder your walk and ruin you and cause you to sin and turn against God, it ain't worth it. Books and magazines and things like that, the things I allow my eyes to see. The writer in Psalms said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He didn't say nothing about good things. If there's good things that you can watch and good things that you can read, we're doing that right here today. God put his written word, and it's God's word is good. And we got it right here in front of us. Surely there's other good books. I've got a couple shelves of books over here, and I'm real careful about who I read after. Very careful about who I read after, because I don't want no garbage going in my mind. Because I know if it goes in there, I'm going to have to fight with it later. And my mind is so wore out. Okay, but. Then we talked about the places that I allow myself to go. You know good and well, if you're a grown up and you love the Lord, you know where you should be going and where you shouldn't be going. You know. And I told you that story about me going wanting to go to the liquor store and the Lord blocking it for me and helping me out on that one. And I'm so thankful that he did. Hadn't had another one of them instances like that. The devil just gets you just right in your mind and in the situation and in the day and the pressure and everything else. And then he slams it to you. And you got to be careful. And you always got to be ready to submit to the Lord in some of the hardest situations. Just about the time you want to pull the stick out and go to the neighbor's house, you got to submit yourself to the Lord and go against everything that's in you and submit to the Lord, and he'll get you through it. He really, really will. We talked about the things that I wear, and that's where we ended up, talking about the apparel and the fashion of the world and things like that. The Lord said in 1 Corinthians that the fashion of this world passeth away. You know, fashion changes and changes and changes. You just look up and go shopping one day, and then next time you go in there, something different's hanging on it. And the fashions change, and the media mob is all involved in all that. They advertise, and according to how much money it is, they'll advertise your inside-out jeans or advertise your jeans with cuts. You know, I should have come up with them cut jeans and just take me some. I had a whole bunch of pairs of them when I was a boy, cut up jeans and stuff like that, but they wasn't cut on purpose. I mean, they was cut from old age. But who'd ever thought fashion would get to where you wear a pair of blue jeans with intentional cuts all the way down the front of them? That's something, ain't it? That's fashion. That's the worldly fashion. So there's different types of kind of clothing, and clothing does communicate. It does talk. If it didn't talk, then why ain't everybody wearing blue? If fashion is not a choice and clothes don't make a difference, then how come everybody ain't wearing the same thing? Why don't everybody just buy something blue and everybody just wear it? Why is there 5,000 different kinds in the store? Because clothing talks and clothing is a choice. And whether people are going to admit it or not, when they go shopping for clothes, they go shopping to show what they believe, what they think, what their goals are. I mean, there's all kind of reasons that people buy clothes. But every one of them is for communication. When people buy shirts, men buy shirts and women buy blouses, and you buy all of your needs as far as clothing, you buy those things either for the right reason or for a reason to communicate with the world, or you buy them the way the Lord says. And that's to cover yourself and to present yourself and present your body in a... the Lord said, the Lord's not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. You present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. You don't buy your clothes according to how everybody else, to communicate with everybody else. Everybody else is going to look at you anyway when you're dressed. They're going to look at you, and your clothes are going to tell a story about you when they pass you by on the sidewalk. And the Lord knows that. And he said, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, one of your works is dressing yourself. And your clothes that you dress yourself with is either shining a light for the Lord Jesus Christ in front of the world, or either they're communicating some worldly stuff to other people. And some of them nowadays say some pretty in-your-face stuff. They really, really do. I didn't think people would print that on a shirt and show that of themselves, but they do. So we talked about that. We talked about Christian women supposed to wear modest apparel, And, of course, men are supposed to be dressed in a moral manner, in a manner that doesn't provoke women to lust. Short hair on women, we talked about the hair. And the covering, how God says in 1 Corinthians that the hair is given to the women for a covering. It's a gift. It's a gift. To show that you are submitted to the Lord. You don't have to put a sticker in your window and say, I love Jesus. All you have to do is live in the manner that the Lord says, and your appearance will show that you love the Lord. And the Bible also said about men's hair and the way that they wear it. A man, the Bible says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, and I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And part of being childish is wearing your hair like the world does. And whether you want to admit it or not, your hair tells a story too. The way you present your hair, the way you cut your hair tells a story about you too, and what you believe, and what you think, and the way you live. Yes, it does. But the world is so mixed up in their idealism that they'll live one way and believe the way that they're living. I'm telling a story about my haircut, but when you say something about it, they say, "Dad, you can't say that," even if it's the truth, even if they're living that way and they believe it. You can't say it. Yes, you can. And yes, you can. Now, let's just pick up where we left off right there. We talked about men, that it's a shame for a man. Nature itself doth teach that if a man has long hair, it's a shame unto him. Now, you can go on and wear your long hair if you want to, and men, just go ahead and just grow it down to your ankles. Whatever you want to do. But it's still a shame. That's what God says. Here's the next one. What about pants and slacks on women? Now, this is old-timey stuff here. But it's still Bible. It ain't been talked about in a long time. You probably giggled at that, didn't you? Because women wear pants all over the place today. It's uncommon for a woman, unless she is modest, to even be fitted in a skirt or a dress or something like that. But I admire them. I admire the women that dress like they care about. And I can tell. When I look at a woman, I can tell by her dress what she's saying to me. I sure can. And so can every other man. Talking about you, women. You pass by me, I know what you're telling me with your clothes. Yeah. The Bible says, let's look at what the Bible says about this matter of pants and slacks on women. Now, let me just say something to begin with. My mother wears pants, and I love my mother with all my heart. I remember when I was a young boy, and that was back in back in the 60s, I remember seeing my mama and seeing her when she didn't wear anything but a dress, a skirt. And then I remember the period of time that's come into a change that she started wearing breeches, but it was breeches with the zipper in the back instead of in the front. And then I remember that there was another change and she began wearing breeches with the zipper on the side. And then I remember dress suits. And then I remember the zipper coming all the way around the front. And that's where it is today. You see, so I don't say that to condemn my mother in any kind of way. I love her. And she can do anything she wants to do. And you can too. But I remember the change. Don't you? But the Lord told us about variance and about changing, remember? The Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't change? Aren't you glad that you can get up tomorrow. You can depend on tomorrow being the same Word of God that it is today, and the same almighty, powerful God backing up them words for you. Aren't you glad of that? That's some hope there, man. But let's talk about this a little bit. Current fashion dictates. Now, this, like I said, this is, well, let's just go through it. You'll see. But it's just as up-to-date, according to the Scriptures, as it was way back when or in the future. It's just as up-to-date. But according to the world and the history books and the blah, 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 and watching all the changes and everything else, it's kind of outdated. See, that's how come wanting to leave the world out of this, because they're going to laugh at it anyway, like they laugh in God's face. And he says that he's going to ask them about that. Well, what exactly was that giggle that you said that you let out of your face when that was being talked about? He's going to address that one day. And they're going to be shaking like Moses said. Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. People think they're going to stand before God like they stand before their boss lady or their boss man. They think they're going to stand before God like that with that kind of reverence and respect, which is not much today. They think that's going to be the way it is, but that ain't going to be the way it is. The Bible says the presence of the Lord burns the mountains. The first thing, let's see this. Current fashion dictates that that women get around in pants as an acceptable means of dress. Now, this is unwise for several reasons. And let's just talk about that for a minute. The Bible does not say women should not wear pants. It don't say it nowhere. It don't say a person should not smoke cigarettes. It don't say it. It don't say a person shouldn't drink a beer. It don't say it. It's not there. But the way that God the Holy Ghost operates and the way that the Lord operates is He expects you to be a grown-up. And if you're the way the Bible is set up, it's set up for a person to come at it sincerely. And if you come at that book with any kind of insincerity or trickery or trying to manipulate them words, they'll slap you around like you ain't never been slapped around. You're never going to manipulate God's Word. You can change it, but you're not going to manipulate it. Not God's words. And if you come at that Bible, you have to come at it sincerely. And when you do come at it sincerely, nothing will seem strange to you because you're willing to hear what God says. You see? And that's the way it's set up. So if you already have it set in your mind what the answer is going to be, then you're not going to hear what God says. So the first thing that is unwise about this matter is that the Bible teaches that from the beginning, God intended men and women to be distinctly separate. And that is something that the world is against, and the United Nations is against, and the World Council of Churches is against, and the Catholics are against, and everybody's against, even the religions and the Christendom in the world today in 2020 is against it. That's not what they want. They want unisex. They want everybody to look the same, smell the same, talk the same, see the same, no differences, none. Everything's relative. That's what they want, and that's what they're going after. But if you love the Lord and you understand the Word of God and you're coming at the Word of God sincerely, you're not going to see anything but polarities. God is a God of polarities. He made the North and the South, and He made the East and the West. He made black and white. He made up and down. He made fast and slow. You getting this? Salt and pepper. Hot and cold. Long and short. Polarities. And people in the world are trying, the devil's trying to get everybody away from polarities and get everybody relative. Everything is relative. Relativistic. The Bible teaches that from the beginning, God intended men and women to be distinctly separate. Why, you can write down for your sex, when you put down male or female, you can write down your sex. I don't know what I am. I'm serious. Yes, you can. There's a one of them thing, them, what do you call them, social media on, I ain't going to say the name of it. Facebook. Facebook offers, when you sign up for them and you put down your male or female, they got male and female on there, but they got almost 50 to 60 different other things you can put yourself down for. And one of them's a, I don't know. How about that? I don't know what I am. And they don't, but they do. You see how people deceive themselves and lie to themselves and how stupid and ignorant it is? They say, I ain't a male. I mean, I have all the male parts and I'm a male. I was born a male and I'm walking around as a male and everything else and I'm trying to get changed into a female, but I'm not a male. I'm a female. And fight you about it. And expect you to believe them. That's what's going on in the world. Now, you tell me how stupid that is. And you going to take and believe that? You see, it's such a lie and a foolish lie and deceitful in the world today that the world can't use common sense of what God says about not changing things. So about this dress thing, God intended men and women to be distinctly separate. And he made them distinctly separate. Now, the basis of this, let's just read some scripture here, is found in Deuteronomy and chapter 22 and verse 5. Listen to what the Lord says. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Specifically talking about apparel and clothes. And the Lord said, without any kind of misunderstanding or any kind of variance, he said, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Now, why didn't he name it out and say, this and this and this you shall not wear and this and this? Because the Lord figures you're coming at his word sincerely and that you're grown up enough that you can understand what he means about a woman and a man's clothing. He wasn't naming underwear and hats and this and that and socks and breeches and dresses and stuff like that. He wasn't naming all that individually. He just said, the rule is, a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. And then he continued and he said, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now that's how God feels about it. And he put it right there in one verse and just made it simple and plain about his opinion and what he says should be. So what does that mean? That means that he has polarities. That means he made a man and a woman, and both of them are different. They are not relative, even though they're human. And he wants them to be distinctly different. And he said it by their dress. I mean, what's clothes? Clothes ain't no big deal, Lord. Well, they are to him, because he mentioned it. He said, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. If it's a man's clothes, leave it alone, woman. And then he said, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. If you're a man, you better not be walking around with women's clothes on. But the world has got so stinking stupid and upside down that they can't even tell what a woman and a man's clothes are. You could sit there and take your clothes off and trade them with a woman and a man and put them back on, and the world wouldn't notice. But God notices. And the world is doing what they're doing out of rebellion for what they know God says they shouldn't be doing. It's rebellion. The Bible teaches from the beginning that God intended for men and women to be distinctly separate. And in Deuteronomy 22:5, in which the Lord forbids unisex. He forbids it. You heard him say it. The woman shall not wear, neither shall a man put on. It didn't sound like there was any variance, and it didn't sound like if. The word if didn't show up in there. Now, women should dress like ladies, and men should dress like men. That's what God says that you're supposed to be. Unless you're a child or a young maiden, then you're grown and you are a man. The Bible does not use the word adult. And I'm glad it don't, because I ain't sure I want to be called an adult. I don't know where that come from. It'd be a good study. But the only thing I can see in the scriptures where it mentions any kind of adult is adultery. I'm not sure whether I want to be called an adult. It sounds like it's a bad thing. The Bible uses man and woman, men and women, maiden and child, and young men, things like that. Now, God made men and women sexually different, but mutually attractive. Men are enticed by the sight of a woman's body. Hence the use of scantily clad females in advertising. When the woman wears pants or any kind of tight-fitting or low-cut clothing, the shape of her body is brought out and is provocative to a man. Just like I said, I mean, you can joke around and play tiddlywinks with all this discussion about this and do like the government does, and this, all the government does, and sit up there and have meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting and get paid and just keep having meeting after meeting and never say nothing and come up with nothing and never find no truth or care whether there's any truth. But that's not the way the Lord operates. And if a man is telling the truth, when a man walks down the road and passes any woman, any time, any part of the day, and notices her, he notices how she's dressed, and her dress is telling a story about her and communicating to that man. And the Lord said that if it's provoking him or causing his flesh to be aroused or tempting him in any way, then it's wrong. And you women know when you dress when you button up your shirt and you button it here versus here, you know why you're doing it. And when you're wearing your jeans and your breeches and all that, and you know how loose or how tight they are and how they make your figure look, you know that when you're putting them on. You know it, and you know why you know it. The Bible says that the Word of God knows your heart, and it not only knows your heart, but it knows the intent of your heart. It knows your heart, but it knows what your heart means by what it says. So when you put your clothing on, don't lie. If you're putting it on to make men lust after you and notice your hind end or notice your legs or notice your form or notice your whatever, then you're wrong, because you're not supposed to do that to men. And you men are the same way. When you dress in such a way to where you're either provoking a woman to lust after you or you're walking like a man before God. One or the other. And all these people coming up and saying, well, you know, I mean, I wear this because I like it. I'm not trying to provoke nobody. If he's lusting after me, that's his problem. You're wrong. And you know that's a lie, and you know it's a lie from hell. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, the Bible says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." So that's telling us a few truths. That when a man, that men do look upon a woman, you can't help it. There's men and women on the planet, you pass them every day. That whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, then the man's guilty of adultery in his heart. But it didn't say just that the man was involved in it. This woman's involved in it too. Listen to what the verse says. "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her." Because she's part of it. She dressed in such a way to where he could lust after her. So both of them committed adultery. He committed adultery with her already in his heart. If you women dress in such a way to where you arouse a man and you both become commit adultery, both of you guilty. God says that if you provoke somebody to do something, you're just as guilty as if it did happen. That's what the Lord's saying right there. He said, even though it didn't happen, and you arouse that man, or you dressed in such a way to where it did arouse him to want to commit, to look at you and imagine evil, then you're guilty of it. And you know what the Lord's talking about. We don't have to go any farther into depth. The scriptures are very plain and very understandable. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, listen to what the Bible says in verse 4. It says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. And of course, he's talking about our bodies. And he's talking to Christians. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification. Remember what we said? That separation, one of the descriptions of separation in this study is sanctification. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So that means the way you dress when somebody looks at you, it ought to bring out honorable thoughts. Sanctified, clean thoughts whenever they look at your dress or they look at the way that you possess your vessel. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. The Bible says when you make people look at you and lust after you, you're defrauding your brother. Defraud his brother in any manner. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. And we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Unto holiness. So, you know, I mean, unless you're just going to argue with the Lord, the scriptures are very clear, aren't they? And the idea is not hard. The idea is the way that you women want should dress is the way that the Lord describes it, period. He doesn't say that you got to wear blue or wear green or wear red or wear this or wear that or wear this high or this low. He doesn't say that. He said, in your heart, be modest. And the other things that he says. And all you have to do is just be willing to obey the Lord, and your dress won't be no problem. Because your dress will reveal your heart. And you men the same. You know, the arguments often raise slack suits or women's clothing, with which may be correct from a world fashion point of view. However, practice shows that when Christian women wear slacks or their teenagers wear tight Levi's. Remember your children in your dress, too. Your children are watching you. Like daughter, like daddy. Like daughter, like mama. And if your daughter walks around looking like she's dressed like a harlot, she's going to get treated like a harlot. because those boys have flesh and lust too. That's why you got 12-year-olds making 13-year-olds pregnant nowadays. That was unheard of when I was a boy. 12-year-old boys still walked around pulling girls' hair. And girls didn't hang around with boys at that age. Nowadays, they committing fornication and shooting each other. You don't think your dress has got anything to do with that? Sure it does. However, you know, I mean, it's hard to point out the differences. It's in the heart. Your dress should reveal your heart. When people look at you, they should be able to see your heart through your dress, the way you dress, and the way that you possess your vessel, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 14, and 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." God loves order. There's nothing wrong with order. Things being in order. God is a God of order. He likes things being in order, and He likes things being decent. He's not a God of corruption and nastiness and filthiness and fornication, adultery, and all this homosexuality and all this lesbianism, all this transsexual stuff. God ain't part of that, not one bit. And He's going to judge it. He's already told us in the Scriptures what He did with some of the people in the past, and then He gave us the Old Testament for our example and for our learning. He said, "Read this Old Testament and understand how I think about these matters." He gave it to us for our learning and for an example. So, you know, it ain't that hard. If you mean business, and you do, if you're listening to this and you're studying with us, and I told you some of this stuff, we're just going to be just as straight and understanding the Word of God as we can be. And we have. Nobody has said pants on women is wrong. Nobody said it's right. The heart is the matter. If you got a provocative heart and you want to make men lust after you, you're going to dress like it. If you got a heart of humility that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and wants to do those things that are pleasing in His sight, you will dress in that manner, and men will look at you in that manner, and they will see a sweet, humble heart, and they will respect it. I look at women, and I think they're slimy, or either I look at them, and I respect them because I see the dignity, and I see the integrity, and I see the love for Christ in them. I really do. And every other man does too. Don't let them lie to you. Every man does not look at every woman and lust after them. There's some women that dress in such a way you can't lust after them. And I love them for that. Because then I don't have to battle. When you make a man lust after you, he has to not only lust at that minute, he has to lust as long as his memory remembers looking at you. And he has to battle with that. And so do you women have to battle with the men that are dressed wrongly. Your dress matters. Okay? Now what about the things that I say? The things that I say. Remember what we're talking about now. We're in the study of separation, and we are talking about some areas of personal separation. We talked about the things that I allow my eyes to see, the places I allow myself to go, the things that I wear. Now, what about the things that I say? The things that I say. Is your speech important to the Lord? Sure it is. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So the Bible teaches against what? Corrupt speech. We're not to speak things, and I'm just as guilty as you are. I mean, sometimes we just have to. One of the hardest things in life is to get control of that stinking tongue. James tells us about that. And to quit talking so much. The Bible tells us in another place to study to be quiet. You got to study being quiet. You know, like you have to study so you can, for a test, you have to study for it so you can do good on it. You have to study to learn how to keep your mouth shut. That's what the Bible says. Study to be quiet. Practice it. And it's hard, ain't it? But when you are talking, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Because the Lord knows, He said, you being evil, He knows we're evil. He knows that our flesh is corrupt. He knows that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He knows that which proceedeth out of the mouth cometh from the heart. So He knows it's possible that when we open our mouth and start blowing air out of there and manipulating that air, making noise and words and forming words, that the heart is apt to make something corrupt come out of your mouth. So if you practice being quiet, even though it's in your heart or in your mind, you won't say it. Let no corrupt. How much? No. What was that? How much? A little bit? No. No. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But what? But that which is good to the use of edifying. The Lord says the words that come out of your mouth ought to make the hearer better than he was before you spoke. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Why? That it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, when somebody hears you talk, the words that are coming out of your mouth ought to make them not be able to wait to hear you say something else because your words are so good and have so much grace in it. You ever known anybody that you come in contact with and you're scared they're going to start talking because of the things that come out of their mouth you don't want to hear? You ever known anybody like that? Yeah, probably some of us have been the one. But the Bible says to study to be quiet, and the Bible also says for us to practice our words and being quiet. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. When we speak, we ought to speak in such a way to where the next time we speak, people look forward to hearing us, and they trust that they can stand around instead of trying to get away from us, because the things that are going to come out of our mouth are going to minister grace. And they enjoy conversation with us because of the way that our words are used and what comes out of our mouth. Definitely not corrupt communication. The Bible teaches us that in Ephesians 4:29. The things that I say, personal separation. Ephesians 5:19 says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not only are we to study to be quiet, and we're not to speak any corrupt communication out of our mouth, that's what the Bible says, but the Bible teaches us that a Christian's conversation ought to be Christ-centered. In other words, when we're not talking, we're speaking to ourselves with what? With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Don't you do that sometimes? That's what the Lord said we're to do. The Lord said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Every language has a list of cuss words. Every language. No matter what language you speak, you can cuss somebody out. Every language has cuss words. The Bible says our speech should always be with grace. With grace. And it says seasoned with salt. It ought to be preserved, or just like that other verse we read before that, to the use of edifying, that it makes the person... Salt preserves things. And salt also stings a wound. You see, salt is good, being used for the right reasons. The Lord said our conversation should be with grace. It should edify people. It should make them want to hear us again. It should make them walk away with a smile. But it ought to be seasoned with salt also. In other words, the truth, honesty, purity, justice. And such like. Every language got its list of cuss words, though. Christians should not use cuss words. I used to have a mouth that was so filthy. I hear people cussing today, and they'll some of them will apologize to me, and I say, you know, it takes a while to get out of that, and you train yourself not to let them cuss words come out. But the problem is that if cuss words are coming out of your mouth, they're originating in your heart. So if you're a Christian, you not only got to back up into your mouth and put a block in there to keep it from coming out of your mouth, you got to back on down into your heart and make a change down in there about something. Because when a man cusses, he's cussing from his heart. And there's no reason that a Christian ought to be, with the hope that we have and the good Word of God that we have and the truth that we have, that we have any reason to be cussing. But I have to tell you at the same time, I used to, whenever I was disobeying the Lord and out misbehaving, I had me a mouth on me. I could cuss you out, and when I was finished, you'd want to kill me. I mean, I practice at cussing people out. I mean, I ain't bragging about that. That's filthy, and it's nasty, and it's shameful. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has cleaned my mouth up. But He didn't clean just my mouth up. He's been cleaning my heart up. And that Word's what does that. God's Word. When your heart starts getting right, your words will start getting right. You see. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Hang on a minute. Let's see, Philippians 2:9, there it is. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I read the wrong verse, I'm sorry. But that's a good verse. The Lord did give our Lord Jesus Christ a name that's above every name. But I was looking for something else. Philippians. No, that's what I was looking for. I see what the reason is. Excuse me. I'm having a moment here. Never be heard using the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ in any kind of unfit language. Like damning God. God damn. People love to say that. Like, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, or God. And not only that, some people think it makes a difference in euphemisms, and Christians shouldn't use euphemisms, because The only difference in a euphemism is that the same thing leaves your heart, just between your heart and your mouth, before it comes out of your mouth, you change it around a little bit. But the meaning from your heart is still there. Like, geez instead of Jesus. By Jovi instead of Jesus. Gosh darn it. We know what you mean. That heart's showing the same thing. The mouth might have changed it around and manipulated it, just like they do them new versions and call them Bibles. But all this kind of stuff ought to be avoided. The things that I say, personal separation, the things that I say. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. That's good stuff, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I need to be reminded about my mouth. I need to be reminded about the things that I say. Because even as a Christian, the devil make you, man, he'll get you to the point to where you want to blow your stinking stack and just let your mouth go instead of holding it and say some things that you can really blow a testimony all to pieces or have to go to your neighbor and apologize for and be ashamed for a while. Because that's something that's not in the world anymore that God uses quite a bit with Christians is shame. There's a difference in having shame and being ashamed. We're not ashamed of the Lord, but we can shame ourselves. You see, but shame is a good thing in some matters. So, areas of personal separation. This is good stuff. Should we be separate? Does the Bible say so? Absolutely. We should be separate from the things, some things that our eyes see. Be separate from places that I allow myself to go or don't allow myself to go. Separate from the things that I wear. I don't dress like the world. I dress like God says to dress. And then the things that I say. That's personal separation. Absolutely, the Bible teaches separation. Now, let me ask you something. Out of all this that we've studied right now, have we mentioned black or white or Mexican or races or this or that or anything? No, it's never come up. You see, that's how the world approaches this kind of separation. God doesn't approach it. God's not a respecter of any person. If a man loves God and wants to be sincere with God and honest with the Lord and approach Him as He is God, then the Lord will bless that man no matter who he is, what color he is, what language he speaks. This garbage that people try to bring into this separation factor, that's just what it is. It's garbage. But when you read the Scriptures and find out what God says, God never mentions these things, ever at all, because the same rules apply. If you want to love God and you want to please Him and do those things that are pleasing in His sight, every bit of this stuff that we're talking about applies to everybody equally, because it all starts in the heart. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let me give you these scriptures, okay? You ready? All right, the first one we seen was Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. And then the last one that we looked at was Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And we honor that name and we love him because he's worthy to be loved and deserve to be loved. And because we're sincere about it. I do love the Lord, don't you? Of course you do. Well, amen. Well, the next thing that we're going to talk about and begin on our next program, if the Lord will, is some more of that separation. And before we get into a different aspect of the separation, we still have one more piece in personal separation, which is the people I associate with. Now, that's the one everybody majors on. Well, you shouldn't be picking who you hang around with. You ought to be hanging around with everybody. Is that what the Bible says? Really? Is that what a Christian's supposed to do? We'll see about that. We'll look and see what the Scripture says on the next recording, okay? All right. Glad of the truth, aren't you? I love truth. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. God bless you for studying. This is Brother Thurman. I wish you a good day. Bye-bye.